We have several apologies. We have an apology from Boston. Honorable McIntosh did indicate last week that he was going to, I'm not sure, DRC with this group, the praying group in Parliament, I'm sure. So they are going, yeah, there's a church group here in Parliament. Yeah, is it, I'm not sure it's interfaith, but there's that kind of a group that deals with religious issues or something, I don't know, in Parliament. So Honorable McIntosh has gone to the DRC. I don't know, Honorable Gama, I'm not sure what is happening with her. Dr. Mulder has also submitted an apology. Well, he has several committees that he attends, so they always clash with our committee. That's why he's always unable to come to our meeting. I'm not sure, Honorable Freitas, is he stuck in the traffic? That's why I think we could start with our meeting. I've noticed that we have a DDG IT Intercessel Lomaka with us, DDG Civic Services. That Kiza is here with us also. So without waste of time, Honorable Members, I think we could start with our meeting. Today we will be dealing with information services presentation and also adoption of our KZN report. Without wasting more time, I will give over to, I'm not sure who's leading, whether it's Tate Makau. Over to Tate Makau with your presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning to the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Lomakau. I'm with Mr. Mkize. We're going to present to you the status of the DHA modernization and smart ID card. And I hope the Honorable Chair and the Members receive the presentations on time. And then they had time to have a look at the presentation so that we can engage further. We're going to start the table of content. We'll start with the purpose, and we'll also just reiterate the DHA vision and mission, the key objectives of the IT, why ITs exist in Home Affairs, and we'll also just show you the structure of the department and the position that have been filled, particularly focus on the senior management letters, and then we'll go to the DHA system modernization, the scope, and the key projects under this modernization program, and then of course we'll focus on the ID smart card and its project status, and what is the way forward. The purpose of this presentation is to brief the portfolio committee on the status of DHA modernization and smart ID card project. And the vision and the mission of the department is still the same, the safe, secure South African where all its people are proud of and value their identity and citizenship. And the mission also is still the same, the efficient determination and safeguarding of the identity and status of the citizens and regulation of immigration to ensure security, promote development and fulfill our international obligations. If you look at the IT mandate, the IS mandate and its objectives, our role is really to support and enable the core business, and therefore we provide a stable and secure technology-based services to core branches of the department that are civic services and immigration management services. And of course, we've got other corporate support services, that is your finance, your HR, counter-corruption, that we also support with technology. And we've got also external stakeholders who and now and then will request integration of systems so that they can verify the identity of the client. So we have the banks, we've got the insurance industry, we've got other government departments that also require the services. So we make sure that as IT, we provide that platform for them to verify the identity in an automated way. Now, how we achieve the above mandate is through the design and implementation of IT solution as per business requirements. we have a process that we follow in the department where the COSEC is like Mr. Mkhize will come up with an idea, and then we find a way of translating that into an IT solution. So we also enhance the current system for continuous improvement. If he wants to improve some securities on the ID or on the current birth certificate, then we make sure that as a system, as the IT programmers, we design that as part of continuous improvement. Improving operational efficiency and enhancing security of all systems. Now and then we keep on putting the firewalls and securities of the system so that people are not hacking into Home Affairs systems, and therefore we have a dedicated IT security headed by a director with specialists under that to make sure that our system is secure and nobody is able to extract the data from Home Affairs without us knowing. Technology refresh and system capacity improvement. We also follow the best practice that every 2 to 3 years we must make sure that we refresh our technology. Technology refresh simply means that we replace the old IT equipment with the new ones. So we are currently in the process of rolling out new computers and laptops. I'm sure when you do the visit, portfolio committee members, you'll see that some of the computers are new. So that's part of the mandate that we have in IT. We also try to eliminate dependency on service provider by developing child capacity and having the right skills in the department. It's something that we have done aggressively in the past to make sure that we don't depend on consultants within Home Affairs. We have almost removed all the consultants in the department, and we have replaced that with the internal IT people. We have created a specialist position within IT. And we've also expanded the structure, which you'll see in the next stage. And we have filled quite a number of critical positions within IT. We also look at the processes within the department, because before you design a system and you automate the processes, you must revisit the processes and look at the maturity level of those processes, because if you have a system that is not informed by the processes of the department that are matured, then you'll have a system that is not responding to the needs of the organization. From the best practices, a technology system must be informed by three critical things. There must be processes, it must be informed by the technology itself, and it must be informed by the people. So we always focus on those three things to make sure that we have the best technology. We also keep abreast of the latest technology for continuous improvement. We're not living in a vacuum. We live in a global world where things are changing on a continuous basis. And as IT, we must keep on responding to all those changes to make sure that we meet the business requirements. We are able to provide services, quality services to our citizens. And of course, we are within a broader government strategy of e-government. E-government is to ensure that at the end of the day, the government is moving towards integrating all the system across departments, so that if you are sitting in Home Affairs, you can access information from health department or from any other department. And if you are a citizen, you are sitting in 5,000 kilometers or 500 kilometers from Gauteng, then you can able to get information from any government department. So that's part of e-governance strategy to make sure that systems within governments are integrated. I thought it was important just to show the portfolio committee members the structures of Home Affairs IT. It's currently the biggest structure in the whole of government. Simply because if you look at Home Affairs also when coming to IT budget and the reliance on technology, we're also probably the leading government department in terms of making sure that we rely on technology. Without technology in Home Affairs, there won't be any service. So currently we have about 6 chief directorates. And therefore we have increased the structure because we look at the strategy and we said the structure follows the strategy. Currently this is what we want to do in Home Affairs. And for Home Affairs to be able to implement its mandate, they need the support of IT, and the IT must have enough capacity to be able to implement that strategy. So we have created quite a number of, positions in recent months, and then we have added a number of directors, and currently we have filled 43% of the senior management services within IT. But this is simply because we have created new positions recently, so that's why it's 43%. And the whole structure currently is at 49%. We almost filled half of the whole structure. And I must say that if you compare to the previous years, we were probably around 15 or 10% of home affairs. And the whole structure was filled by consultants. So we have really eradicated most of the consultants in the department. And we have a good capacity now to be able to deal with the current the projects in the department, including the smart IT data and the DHA modernization. So this is really the structure of the department. We've got IT governance, which is the first one. This is looking at policies. It's looking at alignment of the IT strategy to business. It's also looking at IT risk and quality management, an enterprise architecture, whereby we look at holistically what Home Affairs is doing and what how IT can assist the department in terms of that. And the second one is application management, where you have business analysis in there and make sure that if the business has got requirements, they're able to translate them into a proper IT solution. And then third one is IT infrastructure. This is where we're looking at, you know, the equipment, the connectivities across the country, including the mobile units, which we just awarded the tender now, will be in the process of fixing all those mobile units. The area called network is the one that they're looking at that connectivity. And then there's also IT security, which is also looking at the security of the whole department and so forth. And then services management, this is where you have the support of the IT across the department. If there are problems in the provinces, the person that is looking after those problems is the service manager. It's making sure that you have the good quality support. All the provincial IT support officials are reporting into this person. We oversee all the calls that are coming. We've got hundreds and hundreds of calls on a daily basis in Home Affairs, because as I said, that we rely a lot on technology. So if a computer is not working, it means the services are affected negatively in a way in that office. Then we've got a project management chief directorate. This is where it's more like the center of excellence for project management. All the projects are running in this area. And therefore, you know, the smart ID card, the modernization, is actually managed from that area. The next slide is a summary of what we call the DHA modernization. The green, we have a legend there, which the green shows that there's a progress in terms of this project. And the white, it means that we have not really started with the design of those projects. We have started with the planning documentation, but the design hasn't really started. If you look at the first, and the next slide, colleague, member of parliament, is actually explaining all the projects that are there. So I can either speak to this slide or go to the next slide and explain each and every one, because it's in detail. If you go to the next slide, you will see the first one is National Identification System, which is going to replace the National Population Register, because we can't upgrade NPR anymore. It's just reached a stage whereby it's something that is obsolete. You can't upgrade that system. It's been there for more than 20 years, 30 years, and therefore you can understand that it's no longer scalable in IT language. So the National Identification System will have biometric security features, which is a fingerprint, and it will replace NPR, National Immigration Information System. Our aim is to have a system that will provide a single logical view of a person in the country. So if you are in a country, whether you are a foreign or a citizen, we must be able to see all the details of that particular person. Then we have a live capture functionality for passport. Live capture is the system we have implemented in 40 offices for passport. Now we want to roll out this throughout the country, but it must be for passport and ID, because this is a process that is automated in terms of applying for documents in the front offices. It has helped us in eliminating a lot of fraud and corruption, because there's no interference, or there is minimal interference from the official in the front office. and it has also improved the efficiency and turnaround of the documentation in some affairs. It's a system that is helping us. If you want an ID, a passport, we're able to really produce a passport, even within time for people that are traveling and for some reason they've lost their passport. We've also electronic document management system, which is a system we want to resuscitate and digitize all the documents in Home Affairs. We've got over 300 million documents, million documents in Home Affairs, which we need digitized. And therefore, this is a system that is very critical because officials in the front office need to be able to get the right information. They must have access to systems like this. And then we've got also the contact center solution. We want to automate the processes in the current contact center so that if the clients are calling Home Affairs contact center, the officials, the clients there, the agents there can be able to respond to the client because they've got information from the systems that will be in those contact centers. We also want to design electronic permitting visa solution so that we can eliminate the queues that are in the offices in the refugee centers. We want to have a situation whereby anyone can go to the internet and apply for a permit or visa. And of course, when they come to the offices, even the ID, then they just come for verification because anyway, we're going to need your fingerprints for verification, whether you apply online or not. But it will still eliminate the number of the queues that are in the offices. And it will also eliminate the errors that are captured by the officials because the clients will be capturing the information on their own. We've got also a system called Trusted Travelers Program for frequent travelers or users. We have identified that there are people, for example, in Maseru Bridge who are coming in and out of the country on a daily basis. Some they work in the country and they sleep in Lesotho, for example. And those people are queuing on a daily basis and it's a very tedious process for both the officials in Home Affairs and also for clients. So we want to design an automated system whereby they don't have to stand on the queue, they can use their biometrics to cross over to into South Africa, and when they come back, they cross over into Lesotho without interference from the officials. And this will also eliminate the queues that are there on a frequent basis. We have electronic movement control system, a system we have rolled out during the 2010 World Cup. We have now added to 45 ports of entry, and we've got 14 that is envisaged to be rolled out to complete the ports of entry in the department. We were in the process of rationalizing those ports of entry because the view of the previous minister was that we don't need to have all these ports of entry because some of them are manned by just the policemen and some, there are no Home Affairs officials there because really they are very small and there are few lines that are crossing over there. So, but we are continuing with this and we want to make sure that by next year we have all the ports of entry with the new electronic movement control system because it's an automated system that we can see the movement of the travelers in all ports of entry that are for this new system. So the information is in real time. We will be able to know that this person has crossed over from Hoar Tambo. Now he's using Kinshasa, for instance, and then that information is seamless. We are also upgrading the data lines and the bandwidth in the offices to improve the performance of the system. We have upgraded 203 offices of 218. I just got feedback today that almost all the offices are done. I think there are only three offices that are left. So out of those 400 offices, colleagues, all members of parliament, we have upgraded almost all of them. And now we can't complain about the bandwidth, the slowness of the system because the system has improved drastically. In fact, we had a feedback from some of the provincial managers that really they are happy with the performance of the system because we have increased them from the 500 kilobits to 2 meg. Now it's almost 150% increase on the current data line. So that has improved the system. That will make sure that we can send pictures to head office, and we can capture any type of information without being worried that the system will collapse. And without this, because this is more like the foundation of the smart ID card, the life capture, queue management system, all the systems that we are going to implement in Home Affairs will be sitting on a platform. And therefore, we needed to make sure that these offices are upgraded. I must say that we worked very well there with CETA and Telkom. We were given an executive from the Telkom's office and access to the CEO of CETA to say, if this is not moving, please, we must call them directly. It has been moving very fast. We have upgraded these offices in three months, and under normal circumstances, it takes us more than a year. So we must commend the colleagues for really coming to the party in terms of this project. The ID smart card to introduce secure mechanism to combat identity fraud and resource citizens. I'm going to speak about this in little detail in the next slide. Electronic queue management system. We have implemented this in 18 offices, and our plan is to roll it out throughout all the offices. It really is helping us in terms of managing productivity in the offices, because queue management system is not only for clients, it's also for the managers and provincial managers to be able to identify where there is progress and where there is no progress. If an official is not being efficient and effective in terms of how they run activities in the office, we're able to pull the report, and we can see that the client has spent, for example, 20 minutes in this activity, but the other one has spent 5 minutes in the same activity. So we're able to understand what are the problems there, if we need to train people to improve, or if it's an issue of disciplinary measures that needs to be taken for that particular official. So, and also the other thing that is good about this system is that SMGs, the head office or the DG, are able to log into the system, and they can see all the offices that are using the queue management system. What is happening? Why is this client taking longer time to be assessed? So it's a system that is really very good for us, and we hope that we can roll it out throughout the offices, because it's helping in managing the queues in the offices electronically. Integrated revenue engine. This is a system that is used for revenue and cash payment. It's currently in 100 offices, and again here, we want to increase it to all the offices. We picked up the high volume offices because those offices were carrying a high percentage of the cash that is coming in the Home Affairs office. Executive management system, it's more like a business intelligence system that will help the executive managers or the executive members and managers of the department to make informed decisions, because they'll have a quality data and information that is processed from a raw data. So this is a system that we are going to implement, a new system that we've never had it, and of course we think it's going to help us, because we have seen this in private sector and helping people to manage and make decisions, and it helps us to know where we can channel more resources, where we can add a budget, where we need to reduce the budget, and so forth. The current, the way forward and status of the modernization is that we have signed the definitive agreement with the service provider as part of the post-settlement, and we are currently concluding the subcontracting agreement, because under the definitive agreement, we have subcontractors or the key stakeholders and suppliers who are going to implement those specific projects, and then we are finalizing that. I think by this month we will be really finalizing and signing all those subcontracting agreements. We are also currently, because life capture is one of the critical projects, is a dependency for smart ID card, and we are saying we will not be able to roll out issue the smart ID card to the citizen until we have life capture in the offices. A calculated place that we have taken as a department. We're not saying the smart card can be issued without life capture, but life capture is a system that is automated, and it helps us to eliminate potential frauds, the errors that are made by the officials, and therefore we don't want to issue smart ID cards that have got contaminated data. So that's why it's important for us to have live capture. We are currently developing a test site for live capture so that it does not interfere with the current HANIS system, because we don't want to use the data that is in HANIS, that is a national system, that is the security of this country, and therefore we don't want to interfere with it. So we are currently building a development site. By December it will be finished, and then we can start testing, you know, all the live capture system that we are planning to implement. I've mentioned the IT infrastructure upgrade, our data centers, the bandwidth, the environmentals within the data centers. We have upgraded already 203 offices in the last 3 months, and then by the end of this month, we'll be done with all the offices. We also have got a layout model of what we need to have as the Home Affairs office that will have live capture systems and so forth. The live capture systems will need some offices to be configured a little bit differently to what they are now, so that we can have most of the counters with the live capture system. So we've got a layout design that has been presented to EXCO and the minister, which was approved, and therefore we are working on that as a parallel project. It's not a dependency for most of the projects, because some of the offices are ready for live capture, but other offices will need to be refurbished differently to make sure that it fits the systems that we are going to implement in those offices. We also continue to implement priority projects within modernization programs. We are saying, honorable members, that the DHT modernization is a massive program, and we're not going to implement everything at the same time. There are projects that are priorities, like your live capture, the smart card, your upgrade to the offices, your queue management system, and so forth. But not everything can be implemented at the same time. The approach we have taken, and also from the best practice, is that you must avoid a big bang approach. An incremental approach is very important, because when you make mistakes, you are able to rectify and fix those mistakes without affecting the whole program. If you take a big bang approach, you make one mistake, the whole program will collapse, and therefore you start from the beginning. So we have been implementing projects, and then we understand that the approach you must take is not a big bang, but an incremental and a targeted approach. And then we also saying that this is a massive program, and therefore we need to have a thorough training and change management for our officials to be able to receive the changes that will happen in the department. And as far as this, we have taken into consideration the issues around the fact that there will be technology-based environment, and some of the colleagues currently are worried that they will lose their jobs. That has been taken into consideration. No one is going to lose his or her job. We just need to retrain people and make sure that they are in the relevant areas and environment. In fact, in Home Affairs, I think we still need more people than, you know, people fearing that they will lose their jobs. The ID card status, I'd like to emphasize, and that's why we have underlined and bolded the word identification card. It is an identification with multiple wallet capability. Honorable members, what we have discovered when we started with this project, there were stakeholders that were pushing that the smart ID card become commercial card. Now, we have done a research in all the countries that have implemented the smart ID card, is that it must be an identity card. You can add other features, but the core of the card is an identification card. When we say with multiple wallet capabilities, we mean that we will add requirements from health department, from social development. We have designed a card which has got a chip, and that chip has been partitioned into sections so that if the Department of Health come at a later stage, we are able to write their information into a particular partition. We consulted with the stakeholders. There's a slide that is talking about those stakeholders, but it's unfortunate that most of them are not ready to go with us now. So we decided that rather than waiting for them, we will partition the card and have space for them so that in the future, if they want to come and bring the requirements, we can write those requirements into the smart ID card. So it is an identification card with multiple capabilities, which you can use in a bank, you can use in in social development and so forth, but it will remain an identity card. It is a contactless card with biometric security features. Contactless simply means that you're not going to swipe it like the card that you're having, but you can put it next to the scanner and the information will be able to read. The fact that we chose the contactless is simply because the lifespan of the contactless is longer than a contact base, because when you swipe a card, it gets damaged every day. The body material gets affected. But a contactless, because you don't swipe it, you just put it next to the scanner, the lifespan of the card increases. In some countries, their card expires after 10 years and so forth. And as a department, we took a decision that there's no need for the card to expire. We know that with the quality that you are having, you can even have that card for 20 years without really being worried about it. So if you look at the current Green ID book, there are people who are keeping that book for almost 10 years and more than 20 years and so forth. So with the material that we have produced for this card, the polycarbonate material, which has been tested in the lab that they can last more than 10 years, even for a person who is really not careful, they will still have that card for those years. So we have taken that decision based on that. It was not just an informed decision, the decision that is really informed for the best practices. We have produced a pilot card. We've been consulting with a number of stakeholders. We have a very strong team, honorable members. We are working currently with the CSIR team. There is a dedicated area in CSIR called the Smart ID Card, Smart Technology, and the security within the CSIR. We are also working with post office on the public key infrastructure because the securities of the Smart ID Card, and we also have science and technology, and then GPW and state security. So that's the team that's really working on the Smart Card. We took a decision again that we'll contain this card within the government institution because we know why the Smart ID Card has failed in the past, and therefore we don't want to repeat that mistake. We also, there are three key front bank integration points that were done piloting. We know that if you go to Barrack Street now and apply for a pilot a Smart ID card, it will be produced within 30 minutes an hour. So we have tested those integration points, communication between front offices and office in this country to a government printing works where it will be printed. Just to give you a sketch. What's happening if in Home Affairs, if you apply for an ID from this office here in Cape Town, it goes through Home Affairs systems locally, then it goes to CETA, because that's the government network, and then it goes to Home Affairs backend systems, and in all these areas there are firewalls and measures that check the quality and identification of that application. Then it goes to government printing works, that's where it gets printed. So all those integration points, all those freeways that this data goes through have been tested, and that's why when we were piloting the card, we've sent like deputy minister to this office and apply, and then we were able to print that card within an hour or so, which was brought down to Cape Town. The printing infrastructure tender issued by government printing works, adjudication to be done in November. I'm glad to report that honorable members and the chair that the tender was adjudicated yesterday. There are two tenders for the Smart ID card. The first one is to buy the printing infrastructure. What we are currently having in GPW is not enough to print at least, for example, 10 million cards per annum, because we are saying if we are going to issue the Smart ID card to the citizens of this country within 3 years, and we say every year we must print 10 million cards, the current infrastructure in GBW can only print up 5,000, which is too little. So we are adding that printing infrastructure. We have issued a tender about a month ago, and yesterday the team started adjudication for the tender, and then by the end of this month we should award it to the service provider who will produce. So, and then the second tender is for the design of the actual card, where we have a cut material, and then it must be having all those security features, the body material, the chip, and all sorts of things. Now, the first thing that needs to happen is that you must have that infrastructure, because once you design it, it must be printed out. And that's how we started with it. In the next slide, you'll see that's the second tender that I'm talking about, the tender for blank card material to be issued in November for personalization. That specification designed by the team comprises of DHA, CSIR, SAPO, GBW, and state security agents. Honorable members, I want to tell you something that maybe you might not be aware. The most difficult part of the smart ID card is designing the card specification. If you make a mistake there, you can forget. It's like designing a car engine. If you can't get the specification right, it means you're going to design a wrong engine capacity, and therefore the whole thing will fail. So we've got a very strong team led by Professor Nolo Mwando and Dr. Masiru Mule in CSIR, and then we've got a very strong team also from GBW and South African Post Office. The role of South African Post Office there is what you call public key infrastructure. It means that there's a need for an independent security organization that will make sure that for each and every card that has been issued, there is a certificate that has been issued to say that this is a valid ID card, and that can be proven in a court or wherever. And we're able to see that this smart card is a fake one, and this one is the correct one. By looking at it, but also by testing it, we'll be able to know that the certificate was issued, the security certificate has been issued for it. And currently, SAPO is the only government institution that is having the public key infrastructure. There are a lot of private organizations that can give that security, but as the department, the previous minister was clear that the smart ID card must be contained within government. So, and I think that has helped us because there's no interference from these organizations, and some of them are surprised that we've already moved this far. Now, what we have done is, with the specification, it took us almost 3 months, working day and night, to make sure that we design this specification, because this specification is not only, a South African customized specification. They must meet international standards. The quality must be of unquestionable standards. They must make sure that they meet those standards that are prescribed by, international organizations and so forth. So we have been going through that team, that design phase, which we really want to thank the stakeholders that worked with us here. And therefore, as I'm speaking this week, we are signing off specifications. We'll be issuing them to the GBW, and then they'll go to the public for an open tender. And then I think we are very excited at the stage where we are with the smart ID card. I don't think where we are, with the level of achievement that we have done, with the specification that we have designed, and the comfort that it gives us now, we really are excited because we know now that the smart card is at a point whereby it's untenable, and therefore we should be able to have smart ID card next year. The design and implementation of LifeCatch in the remaining offices, I mentioned that this is probably the number one project after the smart ID card, the Life Capture, because the Life Capture is in the front office. It's an automated process for applying for an ID or passport. And we want to make sure that the smart card and the Life Capture are ready at the same time. There are people who were saying that you can issue the smart ID card without Life Capture, and they are correct. Because Life Capture, basically, it will replace a process where you come with an application form and you fill your application form. We send it to the head office, and then we create your smart ID card. That can be done, honorable members in the chair. But we're saying the risk is the fact that when you fill in your form and you give it to the official, they can mistake your N with M, and then your surname is incorrect. But if you have a Life Capture, because it's an automated process, you capture the information, the client can see that is correct, and then before you click on that button for information to go to head office directly, then you can actually verify that the information is there. What we are even trying to do is, with the life capture system, once we've captured the information, we're going to print it and give it to you. We say, have a look at all these details correct, and then you sign on the that thing and say, the details are correct. So that when you come back and you say, the name is wrong there, but you have confirmed that the information is correct. And so that's what we're trying to do. It's not only to improve the turnaround time, but it's also for the quality of the product that we want to produce, and also to eliminate corruption. There's no longer going to be exchange of pictures on the road. Once you click on finish, that information is at GPW for printing. So it's an automated process that we want to have. In my view, if we have life capture, home arrest will never be the same. It will be completely a different organization altogether. Further consultation with stakeholders for additional requirements. We have contacted with the following stakeholders in the next slide, which is State Security Agency, the Council for Science and Industrial Research, the bank through South African Banking Risk Information Center. We are fortunate, honorable members, that we have a steering committee every month with all the banks that are under SABIC, and we sit there in that committee, myself and Mr. Mkise, which is chaired by the CEO of SABIC, where the Financial Intelligence Center also is there. So we have been engaging all these key stakeholders. They've given us thumbs up in terms of the card that we're trying to design. And we also work with South African Revenue Services, Department of Science and Technology, the Independent Electoral Commission. They've given us their requirements, which we've already incorporated into the current card. We've also consulted with Department of Health. Unfortunately, honorable members, this is one department that really we're not getting anything out of them, and we decided that we're going to have the final consultation, myself and Mr. Mkise, before the end of this month, and then we move forward. But as I said, we have also partitioned the ship, and we have created the space that will be available for these stakeholders that are not ready now, like Department of Health, and at the later stage, if they come, we'll just write the information to the card. We've also consulted with Department of Social Development and SASA. There was a presentation that was made to integrate the justice system, where you've got SEPs, Justice, Correctional Services and Social Development. We also had South African Bureau of Standards as a partner, because we wanted to make sure that the CAD meets all the standards in the country and abroad. And of course, with South African Post Office. With South African Bureau of Standards, we've also procured all the standards that we are going to use now and in future, which were really quite cheap, around 35,000, and we've got all the standards. And Home Affairs, we can write those standards into the card as and when they come. Thank you, honorable members. That is the presentation on the smart card and modernization.
Thank you, Dr. Mako. I'm not sure if that the Kabazelo would like to breathe also. Say something. Oh, okay. And remember, that was the presentation by the DGGIT, Dr. Mako. Time for questions. He has touched on a number of important issues with regard to IT systems within the department. And we must indicate to you, whilst you are here, Dr. Mako, that one of our recommendations by the portfolio committee, our first priority is that IT systems be rolled out in the department. They should be finalized and be implemented. I have noticed that the Honorable Gaff, followed by Honorable De Freitas, followed by Dr. Marcel, followed by Mayor Nokaya Mbibi, in that order. And also our second priority is the smart ID rollout. I'm glad you've mentioned that that is going to be in operation early next year. Thank you. In that order, honorable members.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I think first of all, it is good to hear that you are making provision even for the latecomers in terms of the departments that are latecomers and that are not at this point giving all their cooperation, because one wouldn't want to see a situation where this card or the capacity of this card is in the end, you know, not really enough to cater for all we need. I think we agree with you that we can't have a, this is not supposed to be a commercial card or whatever, but it should be a card that makes citizens' interaction with government easier. That should be the goal, and therefore all necessary government information should be you know, on this card, and provision should be made for that. Am I correct in saying then that you know, we wouldn't have a situation like, for example, some of these soccer stadiums that I understand can't be used for athletics or other things as well, so we wouldn't have a situation with a card without the necessary capacity to really cater for future needs in terms of new departments coming on board and so on. Is that the situation? To understand that correctly. Second thing, of course, is the question of, you know, which info goes on this card, in a sense, I don't know, maybe, you know, I don't know whether all citizens would necessarily agree with all the information that goes on the card. That's to an extent maybe even a debate. You know, I see the, for example, I see the state security agency and people would wonder, you know, now what kind of information from that side is going onto this card. So in a sense, do you foresee that some of the information or someone that goes on this card can in a sense be a bit controversial perhaps, and how are you going to deal with that? I mean, if one sees the state security agency there, some people might even be quite concerned about the capacity of this particular card, what it can do and what not, you know. Thirdly, I think that one must also engage in a sense perhaps with municipalities. To what extent has that engagement taken place? Because it would be a pity if this card would not also include your driver's license, for example, you know. If you still have to have a different card for driver's license purposes. What is the thinking in that regard, and what is the thinking in terms of engaging the municipalities? And I understand you mentioned about the time frame and so on, that we're going to see the implementation for the next year. How exactly is this implementation process going to work? Can you just maybe on the time frames and so on give us all the information you have? Thank you.
Honourable Director.
Thank you, Chair. Lord Galmers, covered some of my grounds I wanted to bring up, but just additionally, I suspect that my questions may require too much detail, so I'm happy for it to be sent later on. On the various products, if you could send us time frames and milestone progresses on how it's doing and how these projects are going, it would be good to measure it against sort of target dates and so forth. Then you could just talk about, you talk about on your page 5 about developing internal capacity and then minimizing consultants. You just talk about a little bit more about that, unpack that, because a lot of the work involved here is specialized stuff. We can't happen in sort of a few hours training, so if you just perhaps talk about that. And then on your page 6, you talk about you sort of list out a kind of organogram on your information system structure. If you could just tell us how, has there been some kind of analysis to measure the structure to the efficiency of what needs to be done? Just because there's a structure put together doesn't mean that these projects are automatically going to happen better and so forth. That's presumably the case, but has actually been tested to be the case. And I think that's it. All the other questions really just pertain to deadlines and so forth. Perhaps I don't expect you to have a response here now, but if we could ask for some information to be sent to us. Thank you.
Salon committee. My talent here in as far as the presentation is concerned in welcoming, of course, the good work with the Magai. Yeah, it's a very exceptional emphasis on our excellence as a department. You know, one thing that worries me is that this is going to need more people to be retrained. And part of the challenge that you have highlighted in your presentation on page 8, and of course on page 10, is that some people are worried about losing their jobs. There's uncertainty. Now, given the fact that you, some of these skills, as much as Honorable Putty Freitas has highlighted, you want to minimize the role of consultants, but you still talk about retraining, and there's uncertainty. Now, this is talking to one area that might create even more uncertainty, with the fact that how many people that you wish to have in a new establishment. Have you done the calculations? Given the current staff component, which itself, sir, you are not filling your positions at the EMS, at the SMS level, and in the overall, you're talking about 50.3% vacant positions at the overall structure, with a 43% filled at the SMS. So my concern here is that as much as you want to drive this project with speed, but you may need to pay particular attention in the area of the kind of skilled personnel you need, and whether or not you are going to need people to come outside the country to come and assist. Mm-hmm. And especially with the emphasis, I don't want to use consultants. Now, I'm sure you would like to answer that question. The other one is the use of your National Population Register by departments such as Social Security Agency within the Social Development and, of course, the Human Settlements. And I would also talk about health, because currently we have the relationship with health, even though you somehow dismiss it of their cooperation, I don't know to what extent. But how do you see them using your population rates, especially after the implementation of this project, the human settlement as well as the SASA, to try and deal with corruption at the department's concern. The last one for now, Chair, is the current infrastructure that you have. Obviously, in the different front offices, you've got to ensure that they are compatible to the new requirements. So in terms of your own budget assessment, vis-a-vis, of course, the kind of work that needs to be done, do you think you've got enough, especially given the implementation phase and in the foreseeable future? So what are the gaps there? So as a committee there, it's something that we need to understand, because when we spoke in terms of our own, targets as a committee, we said that we want to prioritize the smart IT card. But if we have to prioritize it, these questions cannot be left unanswered. Otherwise, we'll have this project going down for the next 10 years again, as we have seen since 2001. Thank you very much, sir.
Honorable Makaya. No, I... Thank you very much, Chair. I would like to welcome the presentation and extend my appreciation to the department, because we can't wait to see this happening so that our people can be able to value their identity and citizenship. Chair, I would like to check with the department if what are the time frames and phases for the piloting and roll out of this new national identity system and the national population register. My other question has been tasked by Honorable Member Marcella to check, Chair, if maybe our offices
so that they can be prepared for this new IT smart card? What are the IT infrastructure requirements for Home Affairs to be able to read the information contained on the new IT? And what is the rollout plan in this regard? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Mr. Makau, you may respond to the questions that have been posed by the members. But before you present, in your presentation, you're saying that you're developing internal capacity. I think we all support the development of the internal capacity because we have a consent of mobile units that are not functioning properly as to our expectations. With your capacity, are you able to address some of those issues? And we've been raising the concern around systems that talk to one another. An immigrant applying for asylum seeker in Port Elizabeth. When he can't get proper assistance, then he comes to Joburg, make the same application. Will the system be able to pick that? Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for the questions. I'm not alone, I'll share the questions with Mr. Mkhize. I think I'll deal with the question as they were asked, just maybe a question on the Honorable, from Honorable Marcella, on the retraining of people in the department, the fact that people are worried that they might lose their job. I think Mr. Mkhize will be able to help me with that. But start with your question, Chair. we are happy, and I think what the portfolio committee members are prioritizing, which is IT systems in Home Affairs, is in line with what the department is doing, including the new minister, who's really a technology person, and in her view, if we prioritize IT and we roll out all these systems, then, 80% of our problem will be sorted out. And we agree with that, and we really appreciate the support from the portfolio committee. The internal capacity, Honorable Chair, it's really the priority that and the money that were given by the previous minister, and we are continuing with that. I want to assure the Honorable Members that they shouldn't be alarmed by the fact that we've only filled half of the structure. It is simply because the structure was increased drastically. If it was the structure that was there in the past few years, it would have been 100% filled. So we have increased the structure. I'll give you one example that in the provinces, we used to have 49 technicians who were consultants, and we have actually replaced all of them because we have Home Affairs IT technicians there. And in the structure, if you look at the structure, excuse me, just when I get to the picture. At the bottom of the structure, you will see that there's regional IT support, about 35 technicians that we appointed. Those were actually the consultants. We replaced all of them, and this is the labor we just created not so long ago. So it has increased the structure, but we are in the process of filling the whole structure. We believe that once we fill that the whole structure, we will not complain anymore as Home Affairs IT. And also, Chair, on the question of system integration, it's actually it's on the center of DHA modernization that all the system must be integrated. If you are in OR Tambo, you must be able to see the data of any area in Home Affairs. If you apply for a document in Port Elizabeth, somebody that is sitting in Messina must be able to see that information while you still apply in real time. So those challenges that we're currently having will be things of the past with the implementation of this. So the system will really be talking to one another on real time, not that the information can only be seen after a few hours or so. On the questions from the Honorable Gam, I agree with you. That's one thing that we really took care of was the capacity of the card. The card is currently 80 kilobytes, and even with the piloting that we have done, we have not even used more than 25 kilobytes on the current card. So we know that all those organizations, even if they come with double the information we expect, they will not be able to fill the capacity of this card. So we are comfortable with that. We've also done benchmarking with other countries, and we actually have got a bigger size than most of the countries that are integrated in terms of system. So we have taken care of it. The issue of information that goes into that, I also agree that most of the people will be sensitive when you're talking about state security. The state security, I think Mr. Mkhize will explain on that, but they are more focusing on the physical security of the card, which I understand it was presented to the cabinet or the parliament for approval. So we also don't actually know all the details of the security of the card. But the information that goes there, Honorable Ram, is the same information that you see on the current card. It's just that the difference is that nobody will be able to change the information as they do now with the Green ID book. So you will not be able to change the information because it's written to the chip, even if you'll be sitting in front of the card. But all that information is also on the chip. So whatever you change, we'll be able to see that this person is trying to change the card, because on the chip you won't be able to change it. So we are safe in terms of that. We don't think it will really, there's no controversial data that goes into that. It's basically the same information that you see on the card, which will be more secured, because nobody can change it. We've also, on the stakeholder analysis, the issue around the driver's license, in fact, we were here on the 25th of April when the minister was speaking to the Minister of Transport to say that they are welcome to come and have their information on our card. Unfortunately, the response we got, which we think is a valid response, is that the driver's license expires every 5 years. Now, if you're going to have a driver's license on the card and it is expired, it means you must actually change the card, which is going to be very costly. I don't think the citizens will agree. So that's why for now we'll have to separate them. I'm talking as far as the driver's license. Yeah. So that's really the main reason why we got and we feel it. And also when you look at a lot of countries, I think they are separate from one another. I don't know if it's the case, but yeah. And the issue around we have engaged with a number of organizations that we feel they will need information on the card. I must say that we have not engaged with municipalities. We have not seen the necessity of engaging the municipality or what data can be on that. But it's not too late. It's something that we can do and see if there's something that they will need to have on the card. Fortunately, as we have said, we have created a space that any stakeholders that want to come at the later stage, that information can be captured there. So we are still having a mitigation strategy if we have not catered that for stakeholders. The process of implementation, it is something that we are still discussing with the minister to get a guidance, because the current minister, for example, was saying during the implementation, we're going to start with the members of parliament and also the old age, the pensioners and so forth, and then we go to 16 years old and so forth. But it's still something that we are discussing, and I just want to request that once the minister has ratified that process, then we can come in and present to the portfolio committee members. But we know that we're not going to, call everybody to come to Home Affairs offices and say, come and change your ID book. We have to come up with a strategy that will be able to cope with the volumes of applicants in the offices. We don't want to frustrate our citizens. will come with a final process once it's been ratified by the minister. Honorable Deflectors, on the time frame of the various projects, and I think also Honorable Gam has asked something around that, we are finalizing the project plan on some of these key projects, and we also want to request, because we're still in the planning phase, we didn't want to put estimation that are not informed. We're finalizing the subcontract. The next thing is to sit with all those service providers and stakeholders, and then put the time frames to each specific project. I think the next time we come and do presentation, we'll be having clear timelines in terms of the implementation of each and every project. What we know is with the smart ID card, in the new financial year, we must start rolling out the smart ID card, and the life capture must also start rolling, because those are the two projects that we know at least they are dependent on each other. So I think if there's one thing we have really prioritized in the department, we've thrown everything to it, is the smart ID card and the life capture. We really don't want to fail, and we don't see any reason why we fail in this project. The issue around the internal capacity, which Honorable Freitas has mentioned, yes, we have done the analysis in terms of the structure. I think, as we know, that the strategy is followed by the structure. As a department, we sat down, and after we designed the strategy, and we said, as IT, we need to have this capacity to make sure that we assist the department in implementing its strategy. So we have done that analysis. The issue around internal capacity versus consultant, I think the way we have aggressively removed the consultants in the department, we're able to deal with the consequences of that, which means that our officials were able to continue and sustain the job that has been that were done by the consultants in the department. And we currently have got, even with on the smart ID card, we have got not a single consultant that is working on this project. Modernization, we currently have got full-time Home Affairs officials. I also want to emphasize that Home Affairs is the only department that in IT we have created specialists at level 13 and upward. Because what has happened in government is that the only level 13, which is senior management level, are managers. We are not allowed to have a specialist that is at level 13 and 14. And the previous minister to our structure, to the DPSA, and it was approved. So we've got an infrastructure specialist. This person is at senior management level, but he doesn't want people to report to him. He's a person who's focusing on technology and sitting in the labs and so forth. So we have successfully done that, and we will continue with other areas. I think on the question from Honorable Marcella on the retraining and to alleviate the fear that people won't lose their jobs, Mr. Mkhize will answer that question. And then on the filling of position, Honorable Marcella, what, as I emphasized, the reason why you've got 43%, 49% was simply because we have added a lot of people on the strike. So it might look like it's not being filled, but it's because we have created new positions. And I think next time when we come here, it will be way more than that, because we are aggressively appointing people within IT. How many people we're going to need in the new establishment? Within IT, this is enough for us to be able to deal with what we are doing now and probably in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. We have looked at the capacity for now and going forward when we have the modernization and smart IT card in the department. So we are comfortable with the structure. It's a very solid structure and covered all the areas. And then the issue around people that will assist us from outside, which are the consultants. The good thing is, because we are currently having the full IT team working on the current project, these are the people that will help us train our people in terms of how the system will be used. We're not going to need consultants that will be coming and training, because when you train people, you must train them on the system, and therefore the fact that our IT team is working on this system, together with those stakeholders that will be there in service provider, will continue to train the people as we are implementing. Our approach is that we're not going to start with training after we have done implementation. We're going to take the same approach in the 2010 Soccer World Cup on the MTS. We have a simulation of a system, and then as we are rolling out, people have been trained for that. And once the system is in place, already people have been trained and so forth. So that's the approach that we're going to be taking. And part of change management that we are doing is that the DG has given instruction that each and every province will have a standing item on the KK modernization and to make sure that people talk about this and understand the implication and so forth. We also have got a number of governance structures where we are presenting all these issues in Expo, in DMV, where you've got all the provincial managers and so forth. We've got the EMC, where the minister sits as well. So we have, these are the standing items that we, the THA modernization, which we are working on it on the basis. And then the use of NPR, also on Open Marcella, is that the only difference between now and in future is that the use of NPR will be automated. Currently, we have people that are integrated with our system in terms of NPR, but the information is not on real time. In other words, it takes few minutes, sometimes days, for them to get that information. But once we design the new NPR, it means when somebody is sitting in the police department, they are able to access that information from Home Affairs on real time. Or if they send a query to Home Affairs, that information will come immediately because it will be automated. So that is the difference. Also, we still have got a process whereby people send CDs with information, with the ID numbers and so forth, and we run it against the NPR database. We feel that is not an automated process. It must be sitting wherever they are and be able to check that information. So that will be the difference. The only thing we are focusing on is the security of that, to make sure that people can only see what they're supposed to see and the rest of information is secured. The current infrastructure, the compatibility with the new requirements, definitely, that's one thing that we have taken care of. Part of what we are doing on the infrastructure update of those 203 offices that we have completed is to make sure that whatever that we're going to dump into Home Affairs, the system are able, the current infrastructure is able to carry that. So there are two key things that we have done on the infrastructure. It's to increase the bandwidth in the offices, number one. Number two is what we call environmental in the data center. You have uninterrupted power supply, so that if the system or the power goes down, we are able to continue because there's the UPS in this, we've taken care of that. And then the other third thing which is critical is what we call the switches and routers. We have standardized now on the Cisco switches and routers, which is the best routers system in the world. So the whole of Home Affairs now is standardized. We're sitting on Cisco, and we know that you can bring any technology to Home Affairs, it will flourish like there's no tomorrow. So we have taken care of that. Unfortunately, we're lucky because the most important thing was to take care of head office where all the systems are sitting, BVR and Hallmark. So when we're moving to Hallmark, we set up a complete new state-of-the-art data center in Hallmark because that's where all the key systems are sitting. And then that environment is complete, as we are talking about. So I can say this, that if anyone come and want to implement any technology in Home Affairs now, the environment is completely ready. You know, we don't need anything. All those 400 offices that we have targeted are ready. What we are currently looking at is our Tucson Center, because we don't have complete control in terms of that. We have put our satellite technology there because some of those offices don't have data lines. So we want to see how we can make sure that our citizens and clients are not affected when they go to those areas. And from the questions from Honorable Makaya, the time frame and rolling out of NPR and smart card, if we can come back to that in terms of the details. And then I think you've also asked a question on the office preparation, which I've just answered that we are completely ready in terms of the offices, in as far as technology, in as far as the infrastructure, in as far as the environmental in those offices. Also in head office, the honorable members, we have and uninterrupted power supply. And about 3 weeks ago, there was a power failure in the whole of Pretoria. But the offices across the country were not affected because we've got uninterrupted power supply. They were able to run from 2 a.m. until in the afternoon. So for Home Affairs official, it was business as usual. So we're going to improve those things to make sure that we take care of that. We've got a disaster recovery system. If BVR gets bent down, your information is safe because about 30 kilometers away, there's a complete replica of all the systems. Thank you. I hope I've answered all the questions. Thank you very much. I think the one from Mr. McKinsey was just on the retraining of people and make sure that people are comfortable.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. I think that issue is an issue that has been factored as part of the change management program to make sure that at the end of the day, when people are faced with the change of technology, they are not feeling that their job is at risk. In fact, it's to make sure that technology is their friend. And our idea is that when we deal with the planning, we will make sure that they are part and parcel of that, and we engage with the unions, whatever they need. But at this stage, the plan is very clear that as part of change management, that the people must be upskilled. We have, at this stage, quite a number of vacant posts in various areas which might not be affected by this IT in particular, as we look at the issue of producing the smart card. But in general, as a department, we are certain that people will benefit more, they will be skilled, and there will be, in fact, still a need for recruitment of additional people. The main focus now is we need to make sure that the right people with the right skills, technology, information, systems knowledge, will be one of the key criteria for us to do this recruitment, because we need the systems and the department to be self-reliant. And we don't want a situation where we've got people who cannot cope with the technology and the level of services that they have. So there will be that particular program of involving people in terms of their training. I think there is last thing that I just want to emphasize, that this modernization, the concept is really driven from the view of our mission that says we want to have a safe and secure South Africa. And Department of Home Affairs is the only custodian of South Africa citizens' identity. If we can manage this identity in a more secure way, in a most modernized way, we will have a problem in future. So the idea is that it's the design and everything is based exactly on the fact that we need to make sure that people's identity is secured, and that most importantly, people have trust that their identity cannot be abused in one way or the other. So we just want to really say thanks very much, particularly to the portfolio committee for having really driven us to this point where we're seeking excellence in our IT systems. We've been taking things for granted, and all the time we come here, you ask us about these fraudulent marriages, fraudulent things. So this technology is really aimed at making sure that we eliminate those threats to the identity of South African citizens, including the acquisition, fraudulently, of this valued citizenship. And in that essence, maybe I can just share, Chairperson, that we're sitting here today exactly because of you pushing us, I think making us think innovatively. That we, last week, Thursday, we were very much honored that Mr. Makau received an accolade that we never thought we'll get. He is currently the visionary CIO of the year in the country, whether private or public sector. He just beat all of them hands down. So, but it's again because you kept us on toes to make sure that we really think innovatively and creatively, and therefore we will achieve this goal. Timelines, I think Mr. Makau has indicated, we will map them out and we will present them accordingly when we come back with those. Thank you very much.
Yeah, on behalf of the Portfolio Committee, we congratulate you, Mr. Makau, carry on with your good work
and improve services to people of our country. On slide 10 of your presentation, there's a subcontracting agreement. If you could expand to the subcontracting of a contracting agreement with stakeholders, what do you mean by subcontracting? And slide 12, there are tender for blank card material to be issued for 2012, personalized to whatever, GPW. My worry is, how is this going to work? I'm going to have a blank card that are maybe going to be printed somewhere, because my understanding was that the GPW was the one that was going to be responsible for the printing and the issuance of the smart ID card. If you could expand as to how is this going to maybe work. Honorable Matele, Honorable Khatibone, in that order. My apologies. Oh, Miss Msibi is not Miss Makaya. It's Miss Msibi. Miss Msibi. Hey, I'm out today. Hey, number West. Yeah, it's Nisi. But the name is Nokaya. We apologize for that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on slide number 9, on the issue of electronic queue management system. It has been a worrying factor as from 1994, question of our port of entry, where we find that we got a lot, hundreds and hundreds of people on the queue. I just need clarity. How soon are we going to implement that, especially on the port of entry? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Dr. Makau, you didn't mention the refugee system on the key project system modernization program. Are they included or not? And if they are not included, what are the reasons? And here, if refugees are required to renew the permits at any Home Affairs office in the future, what will be the IT implications and the costs thereof? The last one, Chairperson, is with regard to refreshing technology. I heard you mentioning that the new equipment are replacing the old in every 2 to 3 years. What happens to the old equipment in that case? Are they being stored? Are they auctioned? Or what's happening to those things?
Or do we have a disposal policy regarding that? Mm-hmm. Over to you, Dr. Makau, and the Kabazet.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. The subcontract, honorable Chairperson, is what is happening. We have a definitive agreement, which more like the umbrella contract between Home Affairs and the service provider. And under that, we have the subcontracting. There is a clause which says Home Affairs can go to any best supplier and have subcontracting with them to implement one of the projects within the modernization. So, for example, if we are going to use SARS, we must have a subcontracting agreement with SARS. So that is what we are referring to. It's just a mechanism. It gave us Home Affairs the flexibility that within modernization, we must not go out on open tender and then we're going to take a long time. So rather we see there's a committee and then we have few best suppliers and then we pick up one, we have subcontracting with them. And then on the blank tender for blank card, we have two tenders, the one for the printing equipment and then the second one is for the blank card. And the Honorable Chair, you are right. We are going to print and personalize all the cards in GPW. GPW is a center of excellence for printing for Home Affairs, and therefore that's what we are planning to do. So what we need is we need to get a supplier that will actually put together all those polycarbonate material to assemble a card. And once the card has been assembled, then it will be sent to Home Affairs or GPW. to personalize it, to put all the details, all the information that is there and so forth. But the minister's vision, the previous minister's vision was that we must build capacity within GPW in future to make sure that we even assemble a card from GPW, because when you get a blank card, you still compromise some of the security features there. So we said that in the next 18 months, then we will continue to procure the blank cards, but the plan is that GPW is going to build a capacity to make sure that we have a machine that will assemble the cards from the beginning, and then you personalize them at GPW. So that's the reason why we procure this blank card. Honorable Mateva, on the electronic queue management system, you are absolutely correct that we have pretty long queues at the port of entry. The current priority that we have done is that we want to have queue management system in the offices in Home Affairs, and now we are extending it to immigration services, but we are going to start with the refugee centers, because that's where we feel that we are taking a lot of pay. But the approach really is that the queue management system must be rolled out in every Home Affairs office or environment where we are managing long queues. So including the port of entry, I think that's where we're going to be going. But it's not something that we have prioritized it for this financial year. But you're correct, because we really have got long queues in terms of the... But then I think the question on the modernization is on the system on the immigration services and refugee centers. The current the national identification systems with biometric system is going to replace National Population Register, which is in civic services, and National Immigration Information System. This is the system that are using in the refugee center currently, so we are going to replace it as well. And also on the issue around permitting, if you look at bullet number 5, we've got there e-permitting and e-visa, which is electronic permitting and visa system, which is where we on slide number 8, which is where we are saying that the people who apply for permit and visa can do that electronically, and so that we can avoid having long queues in the Home Affairs officials. It's bullet number 5 under the key project system modernization. And then also the target traveler program is also within the immigration service. So we have really balanced the civic services and immigration services, but also focused on the areas that we are taking a lot of pain currently. And the cost of renewing them, the approach is that the cost of these documents will remain the same as what we are currently having. It's just that the benefit will be for the citizen, because the service would have been improved and the turnaround time would have improved in terms of them getting a better service than now. On the technology refresh, I think that's a very important question, because if we don't look after the equipment that we are replacing, we can get qualification in terms of that. But fortunately, we have a policy that on disposable assets, and we have done that also in the past in terms of equipment that we are replacing. Some we dispose them, and some we have taken them to the auction. So we have that covered. Thank you, Chair. Yeah.
Thank you, and
maybe just to the question that Makau had said, I must just add some substance in relation to South Africans being jittery of the information on the card. I just want to indicate that the role of the state security agency was not about information of the citizens on the card, or that they designed the card, so that when we design this card, it's got all security features that will distinguish it from other countries' cards. If it's found on anyone, you can tell this card is a product of South Africa and nobody else. So citizens have no reason to really feel concerned around the issue or the issue of state security agency. They design even the passport. They are the ones who help us with it, so that then those security features embedded on the card The two features that only them can assist us if there is a question about the identity of that card. So it's not about personal information of people that are there on the card. So citizens have no reason to feel concerned.
My worry with the blank card, what if it falls in wrong hands? Because we do have the IT specialist also outside. What if it falls in wrong hands?
Honorable Chair, maybe Mr. McGowan will add. The card, the way it's designed, it got multiple levels of security, level 1, 2, 3, and then more sophisticated security that is not cannot be detected by anyone but special instruments. Now, what does it mean? That card, it is a blank card, just like our passport for now. There will only be limited security feature that will be embedded on that blank card when it comes into the country. But thereafter, only the department, government public works, government and printing work will embed the features, will not be with the service provider out there. They won't have those security features that will then be added onto the card. At this stage, that is how we minimize anyone. So they don't get a total security features on that card. They just have that. In future, the plan is to make sure that we don't have anyone putting any features on that card. But for now, because we need to make sure that we have the card and the passport system is working the same way currently and we haven't had any problem, we are minimizing the security risk. But I can assure honorable member that there are measures that have been put in place to make sure that the card is secure. Even if you get it wrongly, you just can't do anything with it, including features on the body of the card, but also features on the chip.
Yeah, but to also add the honorable chair that if the card falls into wrong hands, we have designed the card in such a way that it's got two mechanisms of authentication. You want to use your fingerprint when you authenticate the card, and for those that don't have fingers, then you have a PIN that has been generated for each and every card. Everyone who will be receiving the card, it would have been gone through the personalization process where that digital security certificate will be issued through post office. So if it falls into somebody else, it will really be useless. There's no way that they can use a card in that state. Yeah.
No, thanks for the information. Honorable Peter and Madonna.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to say that they spoke about the life capture system, which will start in December. I just hope in January, I should think in January, the smart cards will be in process and they must start with Home Affairs Portfolio Committee. Anyway, my question then is, how do the South African Social Security Agency and the Department of Human Settlements access Home Affairs records to verify the identity of clients? Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Honorable Peter Simatuna. I think it's fair that once the smart card has been rolled out, we will start with the portfolio committee members. So that office there in Barrack Street, I think, will have make preparation for you to go there and apply. Don't leave there. You have to pitch that we have a card, and you know, if you can't have it, then how do you, so I think, how would you promote it? On the access, we've got the mechanism now that we are using with SASA to verify the identity of the citizen. So they have now integrated with our system. So we're currently having that mechanism. And we are planning to even improve it and make it more automated completely. And that's part of what we are doing, what we have done with the banks we are currently doing with all the organization, including the SASA. But we have mechanism in place. And also what we have done is we also took care of the fact that in case the system is down, which is not really the case, we have a manual process whereby in the care of Mr. Mkile, people are sending the
information manually and then it can be verified. We are doing that with some of the private organizations and government departments that are not integrated with us. For example, police, they are very slow in their areas. I mean, we have approved their documents about a year ago, but they are not really moving in making development so that we can integrate with us. So we have that manual process and also a technology automated process in place. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Marco. Honourable members, that was the presentation from the DDG IT in Tate Makau and the DDG Mkize Civic Services. I do not notice any more hands, and I'm sure we've come to the end of the IT presentation. We would like to thank the department for your good work, and we hope that you will improve the service delivery to the people and ensure that capacity is built within the department. Yes, we want to do away with the issues of the consultants. It was said by the president in his State of the Nation address that we need to do away with consultants, and we notice that you are doing what the president has asked the department to do. We want to thank you, DDG Makau and DDG Mkize, for your good work. Thank you very much. And honorable members who are remaining, because we still have the KZN report to go through and adopt. Thank you, that you may be excused. We'll continue with our meeting. We need to adopt. We need to adopt our KZN report, our oversight visit to KZN. Have members read or gone through the report? And the findings, are they according to what we found? Honorable Nisi?
Every volume,
The sensing is public works or defense that must do that. It falls under them. Maybe Ronati, now we can ask Lento, the public works when we meet with them next year, or the Department of Defense. But I remember, if we remember well, during the public works presentation, they said they were the ones who were responsible for the fencing of the borders. Yeah. So maybe next year we need to suggest that what if they use cement blocks, you know, instead of just the fence, because we were told that they just come at high speed and just go through the fence, you know. So if we could get other means of stopping or controlling them. Okay. Any other issue?
I think on page 4 of 16, there's Coletta there instead of Colella. It's just a spelling mistake. Issues raised by the delegation. Page 4 of 16.
Okay, are we happy with the content? Could I have a mover and a seconder? Honorable Minister moves. A seconder? Honorable has to go in a second. We can't let Honorable defend herself because you are not part of the delegation. Okay. So we have Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Deflator.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Obviously, I couldn't, you know, I've read through, so I wasn't there. But what I did want to suggest is that there's a whole lot of recommendations, which from what I'm seeing here and from my discussions with my colleague, Ms. Izzoli, are very valid. Can I suggest that we have mechanisms to actually follow up on these recommendations? So it isn't just recommendations on paper, and it just stays here. That we have process that we perhaps invite the relevant officials to come here and commit that there's going to be a follow-up, so that we, these oversight visits aren't just oversight visits with no real outcome, that we actually commit to, if they can't completely meet the resolutions, that they meet within their budgets, within their constraints. So these documents become real live actions from our committee. Thank you.
Hey, I'm having advisors here who are confusing. My understanding is that this report will be presented to Parliament for adoption. I was even worried that we have so many recommendations. I'm not sure if all of them will be implemented. But if the chief feels that we note, that will be a bit of a problem. I will have to discuss it with the chief if the report be adopted so that they are able to implement what we have here. And then in the new year, Honorable De Freitas, it's only then that we will hear from the provincial manager as to how far have they gone as a province in implementing what we have recommended. Because from Parliament, the Speaker is going to forward the recommendations to the Ministry, and the Minister must maybe ensure that these are carried. I'm sure the Minister is going to pass over to the Department for implementation. Honourable Members, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Before we leave, we were discussing the committee week that we're going to have, that we meet as a portfolio committee on the 27th. I'm sure it will be a Monday of the committee week. 26th. Yeah, because we have, I have a letter from people with, or transgender, who have written a letter, wanting to meet with us as a portfolio committee. So I thought that before we, go on, think it will be proper that we meet with them. And also, Eddie says even that stateless people also would like to meet with us. So we meet with those two groups before we go on our break. And then after having that meeting on Monday, we leave for our oversight visit to Matatiele, Eastern Cape, Matatiele. We suggested that we do Matatiele because we haven't been to Matatiele. I'm sure the last 18 years we've been going to Eastern Cape, Umtata, Flagstaff, and all those areas, but we haven't been to Matatiele. So I suggested that we go to Matatiele for oversight work. If it's okay with the members. Honourable Fred?
Sorry, I just want to clarify. Are the dates from the 27th to the 30th? And is it only Matatiele we're going for all that period? Or
yeah.
And surrounding areas? So from the Tuesday to the Friday?
And also because there's a border line, port of entry?
Yeah.
A port of entry around there, so we haven't been there, so it will be important for us to via the port of entry there as well, surrounding Home Office offices and the port of entry. Okay. Thank you, Honourable Members. The meeting is now adjourned.